Well, hey, kids, welcome to another episode of Motherhood in Hollywood. This episode is brought to you by BumbyBox. BumbyBox is a better way to play, and let me tell you why. Every month, you get a box of toys for your child or children that have been specifically curated for your child. That means each side, each BumbyBox, there are award-winning toys that are tailored to your child's age and interest. And the best part, they support play-based learning activities, which if you're a mom in today's world, if you read anything about that, you know it is super important to get them playing and engaged, especially at a young age. Also, as an added bonus, this is really cool for all my LA moms, my earthy mamas out there. Each Bumby box is free of phthalates, PVC, BPA, and other harmful plastic chemicals. Every toy in the box is sustainable and eco-friendly. That's incredible. Go to BumbyBox.com. It's a better way to play, and enter M-I-H-O-O-D when you check out and you get a special gift from Motherhood in Hollywood. Go and see for yourself at BumbyBox.com. BumbyBox is a better way to play.
Come on, Mama.
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 47 of Motherhood in Hollywood. I'm Heather Brooker. Thank you for joining me on the show today. I'm so excited because I have my little guest here with me today. Can you say hi, Bunny?
Hi,
Channing hasn't been on the show for a while, so she wanted to come and say hi to everybody. Can you say, thanks for listening?
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, and then tell me, what are you going to be doing next week at school? Are you going to be singing? You have to say yes. You can't just nod your head. They can't see you. Say yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And what were you doing this morning? Were you watching Frozen?
No, I'll be watching Sadness Movie.
Oh, the Sadness Movie. That's right. The Sadness Movie is what we call Inside Out because my child thinks that sadness is the star of the movie and not joy. So I don't know about you guys, but I think that's kind of sweet, actually. Who is your favorite character on the movie?
Sadness.
Yeah, Sadness. Yeah. She's pretty sad, huh? And you like joy too. Oh, good. Whew, because then I would have to be worried. Okay, so Mommy is going to record the podcast today. Do you want to say anything to everybody that's listening?
No.
Okay. The honesty of a child. Okay. Thanks, Bunny. Bye.
Can you go to the park with me?
Yes, I'm going to go to the park with you as soon as I'm done. Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, so that was my daughter, who I love so much. That's hilarious. Yeah, she calls the movie Inside Out, the Sadness Movie. And I don't know what it is about sadness, but she's drawn to her and she thinks the movie is about her, which I guess if you think about it, maybe it kind of is, because we're all so focused on joy and happiness in our lives that we forget it's okay sometimes to be sad too. So I think that's actually pretty perceptive. I'm going to brag a little bit. Mom, brag. Okay, so my guest today, my real guest today on the show, is Lolly Allen. And Lolly is a vibraphonist. A vibraphist? Oh, geez. I knew I was going to mess that up. A vibraphone player. And she shares what it's like in her experiences to be a professional female jazz musician. Now, I know a lot of you might be like, what? This doesn't have anything to do with moms or Hollywood. And that's okay. Because I have I have a wide variety of interests, if you will, like I'm sure you do too. So every now and then I like to kind of pull something from a part of my life that maybe doesn't seem so obvious, you know, like someone coming in talking about diapering or whatever. Not that I talk about diapering a lot, but you know what I mean. I just like to showcase all of the cool and interesting people that I know. And Lolly has been someone I've known and been friends with for quite some time. And I personally think it's pretty amazing that she is a professional vibraphone player. Like that's not something you hear of very often. It's very unusual. So she's going to share her story about how she came to that profession, and she's one of the only women in the United States who does it. So don't know. I think that's pretty impressive. Lady power. Also, I want to give a couple of shout outs to some new Twitter followers real quick. I want to say, hey, what's up to the Story Broads, a place for women in film to talk about writing and support and empowerment. Thank you so much for following Motherhood in Hollywood. Despina, the misfit mom over there. Hey, what's up? Charles Bivona. Hey, Charlie. I don't know. Can I call you Charlie? Thank you guys so much for finding me on Twitter. If you have not followed Motherhood in Hollywood on Twitter yet, do that. It's where I put a lot of wildly inappropriate things. Fun times. It's at MIH Podcast. Also on Instagram at Motherhood in Hollywood and on Facebook at Motherhood in Hollywood as well. Thank you guys so much for all your support. If you have not subscribed yet to the show, please do that. Go to iTunes, click subscribe. If you want to leave a little review saying that I'm your new best friend, that's fine. No judgment. I'm totally down for that as well. So this coming week is Channing's last week at preschool, and then she's off for like 2 or 3 weeks. And you guys, I'm kind of freaking out on the inside. I don't know what to do. I find that I'm sort of frantically looking for things to do, setting up play dates, going, you know, which museum have we not been to in a while? And luckily in Los Angeles, there's just so many options. I may be even thinking about taking her to the beach one day. We're definitely going to do a Disney day. Would love to hear you guys and your suggestions, what you do in the in-between times between your child's school or during your child's school breaks. You can tweet at me at MIH Podcast or email me, Heather at motherhoodinhollywood.com. Would love to hear your suggestions. And what else? I've had some pretty good auditions lately. I know last week I was kind of pissing and moaning because everything's been a little bit slow. Picked up a little bit this week, and I already have a couple set for next week, so we'll see how those go. And you know what? I am taking Channing with me to a couple of the auditions that I have because I don't have any other option. And sometimes, moms, you got to do what you got to do. It's just the nature of our beast. And until a casting director tells me, no, don't ever do that again, then I'm doing it. It's my life. It's now or never. Oh my God. I just swear I'm not drunk. But, and I also just pulled up like a 20-year-old song reference. Kudos to anybody who got that song reference. Okay. So that's what's happening. I'm going to just sort of take my career by the balls next week and do some kick-ass auditions. I'll tell you what I'm loving though, is the auditions that come in for that are taped. Because I can absolutely then, I don't have to scramble and worry about childcare. I can absolutely just have her there with me, which has been a huge bonus. So I'm all for that. But I also like, you know, the one-on-one FaceTime that you get with casting directors. So on one hand, the technology moving forward for taped auditions is fantastic. But I also, you know, I like going in and saying hi to the casting directors. And then they get to know you and they know you're not a cuckoo bird and, you know, want to call you in for other things. So yeah, the technology is good sometimes, sometimes not so much. All right. So I'm going to get right into this interview with Lolly Allen because I hear my family on the other side of the door. We're all getting ready to go to the park. So I want to get this show edited and together so we can all go and have a great day at the park. Here is my interview with professional vibraphonist, musician, Lolly Allen.
Oh, I hate it when that happens.
Yeah. My mic got sad.
Yeah.
Let's just go for it. You want to go for it?
Yeah, sure. Let's go for it. Just go for it.
Do it. Yeah. You guys, I'm talking right now to my friend Lolly Allen. Thank you, Lolly, for coming by.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
So I have been weirdly obsessed with you for a while. So let me back up. I'm like jumping ahead by like five thoughts. So I've known you for a long time because we met at Acme Comedy Theater.
That's right.
We never actually performed together, though, right?
I don't think we were ever on stage together.
No, huh?
Never.
Did you go for improv or sketch, or did you do both?
I went for improv.
Okay.
I did a little bit of sketch, but it was mostly improv.
Improv was your jam?
That was my jam.
And then I did not know at the time, because I think because we were sort of in different circles or whatever, and I was probably pretty bitchy. I'm just going to say that. I was probably pretty snobby, still am. I did not know that you're a professional vibraphonist. Saying that right? Vibraphist?
Vibraphonist, that's right. Okay. People also say vibist.
Oh, vibist. Ooh, that even sounds cooler.
Yeah, some people call it vibraharp.
Vibraharp.
Yeah, so you could conceptually say vibraharpist and get away with it.
Vibraharpist. Yeah, but you are blowing my mind right now.
Vibraphonist is good. That's kind of industry standard.
Vibraphonist. It just sounds like a mouthful, and it sounds like I'm probably being incorrect in some way. But so it's nice to be reaffirmed.
Yes.
But yep. I'm not.
You got it.
So tell me, I'm fascinated with this because I think I told you at Brandy's birthday party, I used to play the xylophone, which I know is different. But I think it's amazing what you do. Watching you play is incredible. So tell me, first of all, what is a vibraphone and how did you get interested in it? Have you been playing your whole life? And
well, first of all, let me go back a little bit. You were a sweetheart. You're not bitchy at all.
Okay,
a total sweetheart.
Thank you.
And I am, the respect is so mutual. My admiration is so mutual for what you do. So it's such
so
a
nice.
Pleasure. Yeah,
thank
such
you.
A pleasure to be here with you, first
thank
of all.
You.
And I always thought you were cool, even though we never share the stage. I was like, that girl's cool.
Oh, thanks.
You know, we didn't know each other. But
that's awesome.
But yeah, and in terms of, you know, actually, I was not really telling a lot of people that I was a musician at that time.
Oh, really?
And I don't have a good reason for why, but I can tell you that I took a break from playing music. I got to a certain place in my career, and I just sort of said, you know, I think I need just a little time to take a break from that and
sure.
focus on other things. And that kind of gave me, you know, sort of gave me a sense of, okay, I don't have to, you know, kill myself over this thing. If I come back to it, it's going to be because I love it.
Right.
Because I enjoy it, not because I feel like I have to do it or be some kind of perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I feel that as an artist. I feel this like perfectionism creep in.
Sure.
Where I just want to do the best, whatever it is.
Yeah.
In this case, you know, making an album is something I've been doing lately. Making another album, a new album. And I have to say my perfectionism is really coming in and kicking my butt. But anyway, you had asked, what is a vibraphone?
We'll start with like just the basics. Because I know there's a lot of people out there going like, I don't even know what that is.
That's
it
a good question.
Awesome.
Well, and you mentioned having a xylophone, I think,
yeah,
or playing
yeah.
a xylophone. When I was 3 years old, I had a toy Fisher-Price xylophone, you know, those multicolored ones
yes.
with a little hammer.
Yeah, a lot of parents probably know what that is because it's, you know, I mean, if you don't know what a xylophone is, you're dumb, so you should Google that. But it's, yeah, it's the little thing they can bang on with all the colors, and you know, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, and mine had little tiny wheels, and it was on a string,
yeah.
and I could pull it around.
They still make those, by the way, the exact same kind of thing, because Channing had, like, a couple.
That's fantastic. Yeah, they're great toys, and they're a lot
mm-hmm.
of fun, and I remember mine, and I loved it, and that is kind of similar to what I play, only the big grown-up version.
Is it like plugged in? Is it electrified? Because in my mind, I'm thinking, well, maybe it's like an acoustic guitar versus an electric guitar.
They're just partly true, partly true. Xylophone is supposedly made out of wood. Now these toy Fisher-Price mm-hmm. ones are
metal,
not necessary. Yeah,
right.
Whatever. But technically, xylo would mean like wood. So the xylophone is supposedly made out of wood. Sometimes they're made out of other things,
mm-hmm.
but vibraphone is almost always made. The bars are made out of metal.
Okay.
So it's got more of a bell tone, where xylophone always has sort of a wood sound, a warmer, plinky,
yeah.
kind of plinky wood sound.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
That makes total sense what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. There's more.
Yeah.
It gets better. There's a pedal like on a piano.
Oh.
So it gives it a sustain because you got this bell ringing out and you don't want it to necessarily ring out, and you can take the damper pedal off just like a piano.
Oh,
or you
okay.
can put it on and make the note longer. And then the final thing, what really makes it a vibraphone,
mm-hmm.
is the motor, the electronic component that you mentioned.
Right.
You plug it in. And it's got this little fan belt
uh-huh.
and these little wheels that make these tiny little fans under every single bar spin around. This is like
really?
Got a wah-wah sound, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So did you sort of develop a love of that particular instrument as a child, or was it later on that you, or have you always been into music?
You know, I always was into music. I was always into performing or being creative in some way. And in terms of being into percussion, oh yeah, I definitely wanted to hit things for sure. it was interesting because when I think back to it, you know, there was this project when I was in fourth grade and my dad helped me with it. And we were supposed to make a musical instrument And he helped me like tune pieces of wood and then like strap them down to this thing with some nails in it, like a little xylophone. Basically, we made a little xylophone. And so, yeah, it was funny that it was always kind of something.
Yeah, I'm going to make a mental note of that to do more awesome crafts because that's like that sounds so cool. I don't even know how I would begin to make something like that.
Yeah.
Were your parents pretty influential in that way or in encouraging you to do music or did it just sort of come naturally?
I got to say they were really, really supportive. Mm-hmm. They made me feel like I could do anything I wanted and I would be successful.
Oh, nice. Those Wait, are good parents.
Isn't it? It sounds good.
That's awesome.
And
yeah.
yet the reality is I don't know if that's true.
Now you're like, wait a minute.
You know, I could. But yeah, they were really, really supportive and mm-hmm. they loved music. They loved music a lot. And we
was there always music playing in your house?
No. Well, this is what's so funny. They almost never, ever played music.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was so bizarre.
Huh.
They never had a radio on. They never played records.
Oh, wow. Did you go to concerts or?
They would take me to concerts. My mom in particular liked to go to jazz clubs and cabarets and like musicals.
Ew, that's cool.
So I love all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then when I was in school band, you know, I went to whatever everybody was doing.
I loved being in school band. I was actually a little trivia about Heather Brooker. I was first chair percussion. What? I know.
Get out.
A lot of people don't know that. I actually was in marching band, but I was also in the jazz band. I was terrible in the jazz band. They should never let me.
You played percussion in the jazz band?
I did. I played the trap set. Well, I played a trap set, but I also played the bass drum. When we were marching on the field, like if somebody didn't show up, I'd have to fill in on that. But I also played the xylophone, like over on the sidelines. Wow. I'm talking about during football games, I should say.
Sure.
And then we always had our jazz band for like basketball games and stuff like that. I don't know why my school for some reason was like, it's basketball. Let's make it a jazz band. That never made any sense.
Like pep band or something.
Yeah. It was very strange.
Yeah.
And then I played the quads.
Cool.
I would strap on the quad set and I would just, you know, go to town. I played it all, the xylophone, the triangle, all of it.
Because I totally would have guessed clarinet for you.
You
and
think
I don't
so?
Know why.
Oh,
yeah.
The woodwinds were the biggest nerds.
Is that it's somehow an insult? When a percussionist says, right? I thought you would have played, that's somehow an insult.
It's totally
I don't know
an
why.
Insult. Listen, nobody wants to be the woodwind instruments. It was gross. The horn people, everybody was gross because they were always spitting out stuff from their instruments. It was disgusting.
Yes.
And where I would just sit there with my drumsticks and twirl them around. I can't do it now. My fingers are too fat. But I would like twirl it around and I was like, I'm badass. Like, what? And I have my triangle just ding.
Oh my gosh.
We had this teacher and I'll never forget this poor man in middle school jazz band. He was our band leader for a few years. His name was Mr. Beaver. No joke. Of course, I didn't know then that Beaver was like a haha, you know, vagina joke. But Mr. Beaver had the worst temper. And he would come over and for the percussionist, which I'm sure you experience this or not, but the percussionist teachers, they like to go and they like make the noise that they think the drum is going to make with their face. And Mr. Beaver would do that. And I would just sit there and look at him like, stop it. Just stop what you're doing. And he got so mad one day in our band class that he just started like flipping chairs. He full on like hulked out and had to come back the next day and like apologize to all of us.
Oh,
I don't even
gosh.
Remember what set him off, but something did. I don't know if we just weren't playing it right or we were being just total buttholes because we were eighth graders.
Oh my goodness.
But poor Mr. Beaver, that poor guy. We just gave him a hard time. But I loved band. I loved being a percussion. The percussion was where it was at.
Yeah,
we
it
cool
was.
Kids.
Mm-hmm. I definitely felt like the cool kid in the band.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
I mean, I loved it. Playing percussion was cool.
Yeah.
It really felt cool.
And then did you decide to carry that over into college? Because where did you study?
I went to Ithaca College for a couple years. Mm-hmm. I wound up transferring and going to New England Conservatory in Boston.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So you lived in Boston for a while?
I did.
Wow. Is that why a Boston phone number came up on my phone?
That's right, girl.
I was like, who's calling me? It could be a bill collector or or maybe it's Lolly.
Or
it's Lolly. My husband lived in Boston for a while.
Oh,
he
cool.
Well, I should say when he was little, not recently. Like he lived there for quite a few years when his dad was teaching. I don't remember the name of the school.
Oh, but cool.
We love Boston. Yeah. But you went and studied music. Is that a very fancy school for music?
Yeah, it's pretty fancy. I'd say fancy factor is pretty high. Mm-hmm. Although, as fancy as it is, people will often get confused and call it the Boston Conservatory, mm-hmm. which is a different place. Also a good school, but a different kind of a different focus.
So there's one that's conservatory specifically for music. What's the other conservatory?
Boston Conservatory is also music, and I think they have a lot of dance there, maybe.
Oh, that makes sense.
Actually, I'm just pulling this out of my butt. I'm sorry, Boston Conservatory.
They're not listening. It's
yeah. but also a good school. But New England Conservatory is a different school and is the one I went to.
What led you to want to pursue a career in music and specifically this instrument? Because I have to say, one of the things that strikes me as the most impressive with you is that you're a woman, you're a vibraphonist, and you're a professional at both of those. No, that you're
right.
You're a professional woman in jazz,
yeah.
Essentially a professional musician. And that's amazing to me. You know, it's not like a lot of little girls, I don't feel like, go, oh, I want to play the trap set,
right.
for life. And so I'm fascinated with why you decided to do that.
Thanks for asking that question. Actually, that's a great question. And I've thought about it quite a bit. You know, I think at the school level, like especially in grade school and high school, I think there are more girls playing. Maybe not as many as there are guys, but there are more than you see in the professional world, you know?
Yeah.
At a certain point, I don't know why, but I guess women make other choices.
Right.
See, I tend to live in a lot of fantasy. And part of my fantasy was that I would, you know, get a degree in music and then like the doors would just open up and like all these gigs and I'd be playing at every jazz club and I'd be like touring the world.
Right.
And maybe some people do have that experience, but you know, you don't really necessarily go into jazz music thinking I'm gonna be rich.
Right, right.
You know,
that's my question, is can you make a living as a professional jazz musician? Like that's to me, that definitely, and I say this as an actress trying to, you know, someone who's trying to be an actor,
yeah,
it sounds like a very difficult road to travel.
And you can do it, and it's not easy, no, but it can be done. And I think the important thing, you said make a living, like it's you're not going to be given a living. You might be, I mean, there's mm-hmm. possibilities that you might be, you know, somebody might hand you a full career, but there's bigger possibility that you would have to actually make it yourself. And I have found that to be true. It's like you do have to do your own promotion at times. You do have to be the band leader at times. You know, you can't rely on just sitting next to the phone and necessarily waiting for it to call.
Right.
You have to take initiative, you know, start putting together your own band and getting out there.
So you have to hustle.
I think that is crucial.
Is that hard for a musician?
Yeah, it can be a challenge. I think
I get the impression a lot of musicians are so very like laissez-faire and, you know, like whatever, man, I'm all about the music.
Well,
is that a misconception,
no,
you think?
No, so many artists. I mean, mm-hmm. across the board in every field, you know, in acting, the same thing.
Right.
So many people are like, well, I'm not good at the business aspect.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
good at marketing. Well,
I'm
guess
not good
what?
At networking
yeah,
or whatever.
I yeah. hear that so much. And I've, mm-hmm. I said that a million times too. Like, oh, I just want to make my music and have someone else do all the, you know,
right.
all the business. But right. it's like, no, then there are people that are going to be out there and you'll be sitting at home making music and
right.
and waiting for the phone to ring. But I think you do have to get out there. You know, I think
yeah.
you have to take a lot of initiative.
Are you finding any, one thing also that's interesting to me is that there doesn't seem to be a lot of people like you. There's not a lot of women vibraphonists.
Right. The female
thing. You are
thing
a unicorn,
again.
Right?
I am actually a unicorn.
You are a unicorn.
And, you know, I knew when I was in Boston, I knew a handful. And even here, I know a few. Boston had a very rich, has a very rich mm-hmm. musical scene, still does.
Those
I mean,
guys
the East
are
Coast.
Over. F Boston, they're over. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. And I knew I was had women around me that played vibes, that played percussion. And even here, there, I know a few that play professionally. But again, it's such a male-dominated thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not entirely sure why that is. I don't know. I can't tell you. Just that maybe... Yeah.
A lot of the women I knew in the percussion, in band, they all played the flute.
Yeah.
There was something about the flute. Maybe it was more feminine. Or they, right. You know, they play the piano, but piano is considered to be percussion, I guess. But it is, right?
Well, I mean, technically speaking, yes, because there are little hammers.
Yeah, the little percussion
hitting
on the strings.
Little strings. So you would technically could call it percussion.
Most
but...
of my friends in the band, I was one of the only girls in percussion. I may have been in 1 year the only girls, but most of my friends played the flute. They played dainty little instruments. I loved, like you said, I love just hitting the drums, just getting after it. There's nothing cooler than watching a girl like play the drums or play like the vibraphone or something. It's just, there's something really powerful about the percussion instruments. Hey guys, hope you're enjoying this conversation with my friend and musician, Lolly Allen. Now, if you've got a little one who is also a musician or loves to play with games and toys and learn about new activities, you have to check out BumbyBox at BumbyBox.com. BumbyBox is an eco-friendly toy subscription service. So what that means is every month in the mail, you get a box full of toys that have been specifically chosen for your child's age level and interest. They're all play-based toys, so that means they'll get really engaged and active with their toys. And one of the coolest things that I know parents really like is the toys are all chemical free. There's no PVC, BPA, or other harmful plastics in any of these toys. Pretty awesome. Go and check out how great BumbyBox is for yourself at BumbyBox.com and make sure you enter the code MIHOOD when you go to checkout and you'll get 10% off from Motherhood and Hollywood. And BumbyBox, a better way to play.
You know what? You're right. And I'm thinking about it, like, as a woman hauling equipment, there is some physical labor to it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge workout for me to, and I have a tiny car right now. So what I do is I take my instrument, I break it down. It breaks down into six pieces. One of them is quite large, like almost the size of your futon there. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, a lot of equipment to break down. I shove it in my car. It takes some effort.
And you haul it to your club dates.
I set it all up. And I break it all down again. I put it back in my car, bring it home, set it all up. There's a lot of...
So you really have to love it then, because there's that aspect of it. There's the hustle aspect of it. You obviously enjoy doing it, because, I mean, I would think that at some point you'd be like, ah, fuck it. I don't want to do this anymore.
It brings me so much joy. I'm so transparent. I'm like a billboard when I'm playing and I'm enjoying it. I'm a different person. I'm really happy doing it. Yeah.
I want to take this opportunity to play one of your songs on the podcast.
Cool.
And it was one of the ones you sent me today. And tell me, you sent me two songs today. So tell me, what are the names of those songs?
I sent you most of the songs that I have on my previous album and the one I'm making now are instrumental. And then there's one that had that I sent you that has vocals on it. Mm-hmm. And that particular song was one I had written, so it's an original.
And what's that one called?
And that one is called Daydream Brazil.
Okay, so we're going to take a moment. I'm going to play a little snippet of Daydream Brazil so you can hear Lolly and get a great sampling, if you will, of what we're talking about.
Yeah, and I want to give a shout out. The vocalist on this is Chiara Giavello. See, I'm trying to say it like an Italian.
That's very sexy.
An Italian name. Vocalist, yeah.
Okay, so you guys, here is Daydream Believer.
Daydream Brazil.
Oh, I said Daydream. I made you the Monkees. For like a second, I was like, here's the Monkees.
Woohoo.
I'm an idiot. All right. All right, here's Lolly Allen on the vibraphone.
Shine upon the love that's meant for me. But if that day falls within this life, could it be you? Could you be the one? Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh.
that is from your new album or from your previous
That's
album?
That's my previous album entitled Alan Has Funk.
Alan Has Funk?
It's not a funk album, but I can tell you why I named it that.
Okay, why?
Well, it was a trio album. Mm-hmm. My last name is Alan. Mm-hmm. And the drummer's last name was Hazilla, H-A-Z-I-L-L-A. And then the bass player's last name was Funkhauser.
So what a great name.
Alan Has with a Z, Funk.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, that worked out well.
Yeah, totally. And now, are they a part of your, is it a quintet that backs you up?
So I made that album when I was in Boston.
Okay.
And now in LA, I have a different quintet with different musicians.
Okay.
And yes, sometimes the musicians will change a little bit, but for the most part, I've been using the same quintet, and sometimes we'll add musicians as well, up to like a 9-piece group.
Is it hard to find, are you finding any resistance at all from men who are like, no, I'm not going to back up some girl that's playing a vibraphone? Or are you finding that musicians are like, yeah, let's do this. You're a really great player. Or like, do you know what I mean?
There is a very simple formula. Mm-hmm. Pay the musicians.
And they'll show up.
And they love it. Yes.
And yeah. They're like, what time?
That's
we'll
really,
be there?
Yeah.
Actors are like that too. Yeah. pay us. I'll be there. What time?
No, nobody has ever, I've never been given a hard time in any way about being a woman. Mm-hmm. There's nothing I can't say that I've ever felt anything odd about that.
I wonder if it's because the music industry is so much more accepting of gender roles and things like that, or maybe they're a little more liberal. Like, I don't know if I'm maybe going out on a limb there, but I feel like there's so much frustration from women coming from business and like the dot-coms and, you know, those types of industries where I wonder if maybe in music it's just like, yeah, if you can play, like, come on in. And
yeah, well, I think women have had a very, very important role in music since the beginning, and that's, you know, the female voice. It's such an important thing. And, you know, male voice is a totally different instrument. You know, sometimes they can sound similar, but, you know, the female voice is just, I mean, it's got a crucial place. So
absolutely.
Why not any other instrument? And quite honestly, there's nothing that makes a man a better or worse player. You know, it's just about practicing, really.
Right. And you, even though you had a guest vocalist on that last, on the song that we just heard, you also sing though, right?
Yes, that's
and
right.
And do you enjoy that part of it, or would you rather just sort of play and kind of keep to yourself, like not keep to yourself, but you know, kind of just do your thing, or would you?
I love it. I love singing. And there's something about singing that is such a pure expression, you know, because there's no actual, I mean, your body's the instrument. There's no other instrument.
Right.
You know, obviously you have a microphone, but there's nothing between you and the music you're making. So there's something just so, in many ways, vulnerable about it, but expressive about it as well. And for me, it's been a long journey of learning how to use that instrument. I think percussion came easier for me because it was less vulnerable. Sure. I mean, it's literally an aggressive act of hitting things, you know? Like,
it's if you watch Lolly play, it's a very physical instrument because you're moving constantly. Whether you're doing like little small movements like around the same keys, or you're moving up and down, is it, would I call it the board?
You could.
I'm
call
just
it
butchering every music term you've ever learned. I'm sure you're just like, oh my god.
Not at all. No, the keyboard. You literally would call it the keyboard.
Yeah. Okay. So the board. So
yeah. I would use the word keyboard.
Keyboard. Okay. Thank you for correcting me. Because I'm sure if any musicians out there listening, they're like, oh my god, you're killing me. But no, like it's a very physical instrument to play, you know, and so I would imagine that that's kind of a fun performance aspect for you, because you can decide how much flair you want to add, or, you know, if you just want to keep it simple and your movements small.
Yeah. And, you know, I apparently am fairly flamboyant when I play.
It's fun to watch you play. Yeah.
I didn't even realize how flamboyant I was until I saw some pictures. You know, this is 5 years ago. I saw some pictures somebody had taken, and it was like one after another, my mallets are way up in the air.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this And I'm like, wow, am I really raising them that high? And the truth is, I do raise them and I swing them around a lot. And it's not because I'm trying to put on a big flamboyant show. It's literally just, you know, for me, there's something to it that is part of the music
for
me.
Part of the rhythm for you?
Yeah, part of the music. I mean, if you've ever seen, there's a famous percussionist. Her name is Evelyn Glennie. Mm-hmm. And she is very dramatic when she just plays a snare drum. You'll see her like look at it and then walk away from it. Like she's you're like a tango dancer or something.
Yeah.
And
like, I see you.
And she'll look back and then she'll like touch it like on the head gently or something, you know, like
that sounds fantastic.
And I watched this and I was thinking, man, she's really putting on a show. But the truth is there's probably a little bit
of show business in there,
but she might really just be feeling the music that way.
Yeah.
I know that I'm not trying to put on a show, and I really am just feeling the music as like, all right, raise it high and
right.
You know,
get after it.
That's right.
What do you think about the current state of music? Because it sounds like you're so closely involved in it, and I know that you love jazz, but I'm sure you love other kinds of music too, right?
Yeah.
What do you think about the current state of music right now? Because my husband is like, it's garbage. All of it is just garbage.
Well, I definitely don't relate to much of it. Mm-hmm. But there is a lot of great music still being made. And, of course, there are styles that aren't mainstream that have more of a niche place or, you know, a smaller place. But they're still widely supported. You know, classical music, you know, doesn't take in quite as much money as, say, pop music, you know, in terms of record sales. But there's such a strong support because the people who love it,
yeah.
You know.
One thing that's neat about today's music is that there seems to be a lot more power handed over to the musician in terms of you can now make your own albums.
Yeah.
You can get your own record released without ever having to go to press or, you know, reach out to a vinyl company and say, print my album. You know what I mean? Like it used to be done so long ago. Now you can literally record an album on your GarageBand in your room and like submit it online and get fans. And you recently did for your new album an Indiegogo campaign.
Yes.
So tell me about that. How did it go? And tell me a little bit about your new album.
Well, the Indiegogo campaign was a really cool experience. And it's kind of scary, too, mm-hmm. because you're basically asking everyone you know and everyone you don't know for money for this thing that hopefully will be good.
Yeah.
So first of all, you have to at least convince yourself that it's going to be good, or you have to have some belief in yourself, or so that's sort of a personal challenge. And I knew that the music was going to be good. I knew it was going to be really great, and I knew the band was, you know, had rehearsed a lot and was ready to go. I knew it sounded good, so it was going to be good. But then the part where you know, you then do this campaign to ask everybody you know, hey, chip in. It's a little frightening. It can be a little scary. And the most amazing miracle happens when you start to see all the support coming your way from people you had no idea gave the least bit of a damn.
They gave no F. You thought they did not give any F's. And you're like, oh my God, they just gave $20.
Right, exactly. And, you know, some people really blow your mind with their generosity. And it's just so touching. It's so heartwarming. Mm-hmm. It's beyond the monetary value by leaps and bounds just to know, oh my goodness, this project is being supported. People are encouraging me. They believe in me. It's incredible.
So you met your goal.
Yes.
And you recorded your second album?
So this is technically my second album as a leader.
Oh, cool.
And like I said, the first one I did was
in Boston.
Wasn't really sure what I was doing, but gave it a whack.
Right. I mean, sometimes that's what you have to do. You have to just jump in and go, I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
Like with this podcast, I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing, and I'm just going to start recording and hope I figure it out along the way.
Yeah.
We're almost there.
it was exciting. So my goal was $12,000. I had no idea if that was feasible, but that's what I wanted to make, you know, a modest album.
And that was like to get studio time and pay musicians and all of the marketing stuff too.
Yes. There's a lot, you know, there's mixing, there's mastering, there's production of the actual CDs. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things. Paying the musicians. I had originally thought I was just going to record with my 5-piece band. And then I realized we have these great arrangements that the 5-piece band is playing by the same arranger, by the piano player Tom, for a 9-piece band. And why not just add the, you know, 4 extra musicians to it and just sort of beef it up a little bit for a few songs.
Now, are these arrangements that you wrote?
Some of them. Some of them are arrangements I did. Many of them are arrangements that Tom Owens, the piano player, did. And some of them, let's see. There's one, I've got one original that's my composition on there. And another composition by a friend of mine, Carl Saunders, who's a famous trumpet player, a great renowned trumpet player.
You'll have to forgive me because you will probably say a lot of really famous musicians' names and I'll be like, I don't know who that is.
You're not expected to.
Is it Britney? Because Britney Spears. And yeah. No, but I think I'm actually just really fascinated with that whole world and it's something I would like to know more about. I feel like sometimes when I listen to NPR and they have like their jazz, they'll play some jazz music or something, I'm like, oh, I feel smarter already. I think that's so cool. How does that make you feel whenever you have worked on a piece of music, you have then recorded it for your album, and then to be able to hear it back? Like, what does that mean to you? How does that feel?
It's just so incredible. I mean, it's really, it's such a high, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I get high from it for sure.
Yeah.
And it is a lot of hard work, and sometimes there's disappointments. You know, I had an original composition that we recorded during the first day of recording, and you know what? Everyone played it well, but I realized I'm not in love with how this song is. I think I need to arrange it better, or it needs something. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think I want to include it on the album, and that's my prerogative, and that's okay. And you know,
but there's something kind of nice about being in charge of your own album too, right?
Yes.
Because you produced it and everything. So unlike having another producer come in or a big record label come in and say, you can't do this or you have to include that track.
Right.
That's got to be pretty empowering as well.
Well, this day and age is so liberating mm-hmm. for artists to be able to do things like, you know, host their own web series or their own podcast or, you know, mm-hmm. make their own album. You know, people record in their own living rooms, really high quality stuff. Well, we did this in a great studio.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's nice to be able to sort of do projects, independent projects, and put them out there.
Now, what is it about jazz specifically do you think that you're drawn to?
Well, I'm going to tell you that back in junior high when I was clamoring to be in the jazz band, I'm just going to tell you, there was a guy I had a crush on. Okay?
Oh my gosh, it starts with a guy.
I know. Molly. Well, I told you I lived in a lot of fantasy, right? So
that's adorable.
Oh gosh.
Was he in the jazz band?
Yes.
What did he play?
Oh God, I can't even say it. I can't even do
it. Why will he know? Is he listening?
Yes, he will know.
Oh my God. Are you still friends with him?
Yeah. He'll definitely know.
Scandalous.
But you know, he always knew. And okay. I was just like this little kid anyway. So mm-hmm. I'm sure it was flattering.
Oh my God, that's adorable.
I just used to sit behind the piano and kinda like it's the only chance I got to look at him.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. So I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Is he like married now with like 9 children or something?
Something like that.
All right.
I think so.
Oh my God, that's adorable. So that's why you got into the band, the jazz band. And then you were like, hey, wait a minute, this is actually cool.
Well, and I showed up with my drumsticks, because I wanted to be a drummer or a percussionist. We didn't even have a vibraphone at my school. I didn't know what that was yet. But when I got to the, you know, rehearsal, the band director, he shook his head and he pointed over at the piano. He said, you're going to be over here. And I was like, all right. I mean, okay. So I went and I sat down at the piano. I was not good, but I could play.
Yeah. Oh, I love that the band director was like, you are the girl. You play the piano.
Well, and it was like his political reason was that there was a senior who was the piano player and she had been in the band for a while, but she was going
to
be leaving. She was a senior.
So he
needed someone that could play piano. So I wasn't there for my own personal enrichment. You know, I was there to fill the piano chair.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. So that's how you got into jazz. And then in college is when you sort of developed a love for the vibraphone.
Yeah. It was actually the first time I officially played a vibraphone was when I was 17 years old. I just turned 17. I went to music camp for the summer, and it was at Eastman School of Music, and it was this high school summer session, and I was in this room, and during the first few days, they were doing placement auditions to see who was going to go in which ensemble.
Okay.
So there was like an A ensemble, there was a B ensemble, there were other ensembles.
Nobody wanted to be in the B ensemble.
Well, you know, we're all hoping, and so I'm in there, and I'm there because, you know, I auditioned on piano, mm-hmm. and I'm in there, and I'm listening to all these kids that were much better than I was, because we're all in one big room for placement together, all the pianists, all the guitarists, and I'm just kind of sweating, and they're calling one after another of these kids from different, you know, cities
right.
in upstate New York and around the greater area, and California too. Actually, I remember meeting a lot of kids from out of state, but so I was panicked, and then I spotted across the room, I was like, hey, that's a vibraphone, I think I can play that. I know I can play that because I know it's like a xylophone and yada yada. I've been practicing a xylophone. So when they called my name, I said, could I audition on that? And they looked and they're like, all right, I don't see why not. So they stuck a piece of music in front of me and they said, all right, go ahead and sight read this music.
Yeah.
And I had these mallets with me and I didn't know how to use the pedal. I'd never played a vibraphone. And all the kids in the room, they're all listening and watching. And the little panel of judges and we're all listening. And I just put the pedal down and I started playing all the notes. The song was called Straight No Chaser, which is just all these chromatic notes, one after another. Mm. So ringing out like this big cluster. And everybody just looked with these expressions on their faces like, okay.
Was it bad?
Well, they were like, I played all the right notes.
Right, but like, not with the right, with the, like, inflections and, you
yeah,
know,
with the pedal down. Oh, so it's like the notes are just
ringing everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So yes, it was bad.
Did you get in to the B group?
They put me in the B group.
Oh no.
Yeah. But I got to practice that instrument all summer and I came home from band camp and I went, hey, I'm a vibes player. I want to play the vibes.
That's awesome. So it was like totally on a whim. It was just like, hey, I want to do this. And you just stepped up and did it.
I had really been thinking it over. Like what instrument do I really want to focus on? Mm-hmm. And even though I was there to play piano, it was clear to me that there was kind of a spot open. Nobody was playing vibes there.
Yeah.
There were vibes. I had already been playing a lot of percussion. So it just kind of felt like, yeah, I want to do that.
That's so cool. And now you in early June is it a festival that you're going to or that you're going to be playing at or?
Oh yeah. The, June 5th is the Vibe Summit.
That's so cool. What is that?
Yeah. It's the summit.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of weed. Something that's called a Vibes Summit. Somebody better be smoking a lot of weed.
You know, there might be. Maybe. Mm-hmm. It's like a 4-hour concert and, there's food. There's like a buffet. This is put on by the Los Angeles Jazz Society.
Cool.
And there's a raffle and they sell stuff. They sell the artist's CDs and all these vibes players come from, especially from Southern California, but, you know, other places as well, to play one or two songs with a house band. Mm-hmm. And then there's maybe a student, a few students that might get a chance to get up. And then they give an award every year to a different vibraphonist that they vote on. And this year, I am the recipient of the Vibe Summit. They're calling it the honoree. I'm the honoree.
That's so amazing, Lolly.
That's really cool.
Congratulations. That
Thanks.
Is really incredible.
Thanks.
I seriously just got chills. I think that I'm like I said, I'm so impressed with you. And I'm so like moved by your story because I think it's such a great example for young women, young girls, to say, and you may not even have this intention, you may not have even like realized this, but what a great example for young girls who are interested in music, who want to play a unique instrument and maybe don't think they can make a living off of it or have a career in it. And you are totally
pushing that boundary and proving that you can. And like, I just think that's fantastic and it's very inspirational.
Thanks,
and I'm
Heather.
Not going to cry.
I appreciate that.
I think that's so wonderful. Okay, so we've got the Vibe Summit coming up, and then you also have, when is your new album coming up?
The new album is going to be released. Hopefully it will be ready. I'm aiming for the end of July, but certainly by August we should have the new album ready. Yeah, and then on June 18th, I'm having a little birthday and a little concert at Bar Fedora, which is in Los Angeles. And so come all ye jazz lovers out to that. And instead of a quintet, I'm going to have 6 people. So there are going to be some special guests, and that'll be a lot of fun on June 18th.
That's fantastic. Okay, so where can people keep track of you and be on the lookout for your new album when it comes out and any shows you have coming up?
Yeah, so I have an online presence at lollyvibe.com. That's LOLLYVIBE.com. And also find me on Facebook, on my musician page.
Should they look up Lolly Allen or Lolly Vibe?
It's Lolly Allen, actually, I think.
I think it is Lolly Allen, actually. And I'm going to put all of this stuff as well, links to it, on the Motherhood in Hollywood page.
Cool.
So thank you so much for coming by and talking today and let me like get my geeky band self on. I'm like, ooh, a fellow percussionist. Although I wouldn't say fellow. You've clearly gone beyond my early percussion years and taken it to new levels. So congratulations on everything. I think it's fantastic.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much, Heather, for
You're
asking
welcome.
Me.
You're welcome. All right, you guys, everybody go to motherhoodinhollywood.com to find more information about Lolly and her upcoming shows and album. And also, you can find us on Twitter at MIH Podcast and Facebook and Instagram at Motherhood in Hollywood. And we're going to do something a little different and let Lolly's music wrap us up today. This is her song called Bittersweet. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Mama funny. Balls.